The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas. Wonderful job. I appreciate Mrs. Baldivis. Mrs. Baldivis, where are you at, if you will? Raise your hand. She works with the fellas every single week, hours on end, training them to get ready, and she has done a great job. It's a process of getting the tour group ready. Of course, I don't know how many times I took a trip over to Brother Palmore's office, and she would play songs and say, "Preacher, do you want that one?" And I would say yes, or I would say no. And it was a process in choosing the right songs, as it is every year, for them to be able to go out and sing, and also to be able to make a CD and things of that nature. CD's available tonight, is that right? CD's available tonight, the boys singing, and that is out there at the college table. And so you can stop by the college table if you'd like to buy a CD. I think they're on sale tonight for $29 if you like to buy. Amen. No, they're on sale, I think $12.95. And so, or you can buy, is it $10 tonight for church family? $10 tonight, Brother Crutcher's and Brother Butler's coming together. They're paying the other $2.95 for you. And so if you would like to buy that tonight, that's a wonderful blessing. So $10 tonight, if you like to buy that, that is a great deal right there. Do we want to take it further down? Would you like to pay some? Okay. How about you? Okay. All right. Hey, $10 has got it. I'm sorry I can't get it cheaper for you, but tonight, $10. And so please get it while it lasts. Amen. And go out there and buy several of those. You're not going to find that price in the bookstore. And so you need to get them while you can at that price. That's a tremendous blessing. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10, where the Bible says, "And Rizpah." Now, of course, how would you like to have a name by the name of Rizpah? But Rizpah, it says, the daughter of Ai took sackcloth and spread it, it says, for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon, it says, them out. We'll explain what the limb is. Out of the heaven, the Bible says, or out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast, it says, of the field by night. There was a time when Saul went after and destroyed many people, killing many people. Matter of fact, his house was called the House of Blood. And you'll see that God decided, because he had destroyed the Gibeonites, that God decided that he was going to send a famine upon the land. You'll read that in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1, where the famine came upon the land for the span of 3 years. The Bible emphasizes that this is a great famine, because the Bible says that it was the span of 3 years, but God indicated that it was a famine every year for 3 years, placing emphasis on how harsh it really was. The Bible talks about in verse 2 of 2 Samuel chapter 21, you'll see that because of that, his house, the house of Saul, was called a bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. You'll see that David later on, King David in verse 3, wants to make things right. And so the Gibeonites is contacted, and the Gibeonites said this, "We don't want your silver." The Gibeonites said this, "We don't want your gold." They say this, "We want the sons of Saul." That's what we want. "We want the sons of Saul, and we want to hang them in a tree. We want to kill them." And so David agreed that he would deliver unto them the sons of Saul, except for Mephibosheth. The reason he did not deliver Mephibosheth, one of the sons or the grandson of Saul, who was the son of David in the same bloodline, was simply because of that which was a vow that he had made. And he had already decided that he was going to protect Mephibosheth, as Mephibosheth would come and sit around the palace's table and eat with those of royalty. And so he decided that he was certainly going to keep that vow, which he did. And so he protected Mephibosheth. You'll see that in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 6 and 7. But you see that David took the 5 sons of Saul, of the bloodline of Saul, and delivered them over onto this group, the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites was going to take these 5 sons and was going to hang them in the tree until they died. but also not just those that are of the direct bloodline, but you also see that took the sons of this lady by the name of Rizpah. Rizpah was one of those that was of the concubine of King Saul. And so took the sons, two of which she had, also took, making the quota that which was seven, and hung them in the tree until they also died. It's an amazing story as you read about this lady, this woman, if you will, that was of the concubine of Saul. As you read about her, you begin to see that there's some things that rises up that I believe that every mother ought to have. Somebody many years ago described their mother, said that my mother is likened onto that which could be described in an acrostic. The acrostic would be something like this. M stands for the millions of things she gave. O means that she's growing old. T stands for the tears that she shed for me. H is because of the heart she had, a purest heart of gold. E is for the eyes with loving lighting and shining. R is for the right, and the right shall always be. The acrostic of my mom, who's so dear to me. Somebody said this about mothers. They said, this is what I've learned from my mother. My mother taught me religion. She would often say, you better pray that that stain that you put in the carpet comes out soon. She taught me religion. Somebody said, my mother taught me time travel. And she would say, you better straighten up or I'm going to knock you into the next week. Somebody said, my mother taught me logic because I would say, now, why? And she would say, you don't need to know why. You just do it because I said. Somebody said, my mother taught me more logic. As she said, if you fall out of that swing and you break your neck, I'm going to make sure you come to the store with me. You get that after a while. Somebody said, my mother taught me irony. You keep crying. What's going to take place is you're going to cry yourself out of a position to sit at the table tonight. Somebody said, my mother taught me stamina. If you don't sit here and eat that broccoli, then you're going to wind up eating all the broccoli on the table and sit here until you finish it. Somebody said, my mother taught me the weather. Your room looks like a tornado. Somebody said, my mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when you get home. Somebody said, my mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way, and you're going to look that way the rest of your life. Somebody said, my mother taught me to be an adult. You know, if you don't eat all your vegetables, you'll never grow up. Somebody said, my mother taught me about my roots. You don't live in a barn. Shut that door. Somebody said, my mother taught me about justice. One day, you're going to get in your kids just what you are to me. Think about this tonight, if you will, as we talk about this woman by the name of Rizpah. Rizpah, you can see tonight that she was a devoted woman. Understand the story tonight as I gave it to you a few minutes ago. As here she is, and she has two sons. These are of the concubine of Saul. Now David delivers his promise to those that are the Gibeonites. And he says to the Gibeonites, as the Gibeonites come and they say, we don't want your silver, we don't want your gold, but we want blood for blood. We want the sons of Saul, David keeping his promise to be able to protect Mephibosheth, who was crippled from the waist down. So he protected Mephibosheth, but he kept his promise by delivering the other sons, and yes, even two of the concubine of Saul. Here's what we see about Rizpah tonight. Rizpah was a lady that was of Saul's concubine. She did have two sons. We also understand that they were probably of the Gentiles, of the Horites. We understand that her name means this. It means glowing stone, perhaps giving reference to that which is her beautiful complexion or maybe her physical beauty. Maybe it was because glowing stone might even relate to her energy level. We do know this in 2 Samuel chapter 3 and in verse 7 that after Saul's sons were accused, after Saul's sons, if you would please, was accused, and yet Saul was being dead before the execution came, they also wanted to take Rizpah with them as being a part of the concubine. We see that Rizpah rose up, and of course you see that she is demonstrating her devotion. As the famine is in the land, by the way, no doubt she knew that the famine was going to come or some type of restitution would have to be paid for the actions of Saul. So she knew that something would have to be done. Maybe she knew that the famine was because of what Saul did in his bloody house. I don't know. But here's what we do know. Let me give you some statements. We see the mother, if you would please, an example of motherhood, as I preach tonight, an example of motherhood. We see that the mother is the example. Rizpah is the example of her devotion. She was a devoted woman. You think about this woman. Here's what she did. Understand what she did. Now the famine, the drought has come. Look out, if you would, and see through the window, all of the land is lying in drought. There's not been any rain. There's not been any moisture. The ground is now all very parched, and the ground is very, very hard and very cracked. You see, as you look out through the window, there's anything growing? No, there's not one thing growing at all. That famine had killed off everything. And here she is, as she is standing there, as the king now takes her two sons, puts them in a tree along with five others, seven total, and hangs them until they die. I can see her as she goes over on that dry, parched ground, and as she takes the body down of one son, and then she takes the body down of another son. They were not allowed to bury them because that was a part of showing the disgrace of the house of Saul. They were simply supposed to leave them on the ground and rot. That was a part of the punishment. And so I can see her as she is going to obey the king. I can see her as she is going to obey the ones that's in authority over her. And so certainly she was not going to take those bodies and she was not going to bury them. But she didn't want the vultures to come. She didn't want the jackals to come. She didn't want those that would come in, such as later the crows, to come to be able to eat the carcasses of her sons that she loved so much. So she had a plan. She decided that she was going to get some sackcloth. Now, many people equate sackcloth with a person that goes into repentance, and they will put the sackcloth down, and they will kneel upon the sackcloth, or they'll wrap the sackcloth around them as they pray in repentance. I don't know if that's what she used it for or not. The Bible does not indicate any way that that might be true. I do know this. The Bible says that she took the sackcloth and she put it down upon the rocks. It might have been that she was going to use it to lay upon. It might have been that she was going to use it so that if something was to come her way, like you were to pick up a towel and go after somebody and try to get them by doing that which is maybe something funny in your eyes or whatever the case may be, she could certainly do the very same thing perhaps if a jackal came up. She could do the very same thing all of a sudden if a bird came down and nested upon those bodies by day, or a beast by night. So maybe she was going to use it as a weapon. Maybe the sun was hot during the day, and so she took that sackcloth and she made herself just a temporary tent as it would shelter her from the hot blazing sun. Don't forget now, all those trees that was around there had no leaves on them. They've been in drought for 3 years. If you can picture the trees without any leaves and many of the trees dying, you can picture the ground all cracked, as you can picture the hardness there is to lay upon the ground at night. But here was a lady that just decided, here was a mother that just decided, yes, my sons had to die. My sons were hanged in a tree until death, and now their bodies I'm taking down. I'm going to lay those bodies upon the ground, but here's what she did as a devoted mother. She decided that she was going to protect her very own. As she would take that sackcloth and maybe use it as a weapon. Or maybe she would pray. I know this for sure, that she stayed awake. And all of a sudden, if something was to creep in by day or by night, the Bible says that she was one that protected her own sons when the birds would try to come in and feast upon their body. She protected her own son as the wild beast, if you would try to creep up on that one, and maybe a wild beast would try and creep up on the other. She did not want that which was nature and the natural causes, if you would please, of a rotting body to be able to happen to her own kids. I mean, she loved those boys with all of her heart. So she protected them from the vultures, and she protected them from the jackals, and she protected them from the crows. And can I tell you tonight, if you love your children, you ought to decide tonight that you're going to have the devotion as a mom as this woman had for the dead bodies of her own sons. You think about this tonight. What does it mean to be devoted? Over 200 years ago, there was a lady by the name of Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children. She had a ritual that she did every single day. Every single day as they would eat their meals at the same time. 19 children, by the way, is more than anybody in this church has. You know, as children, they all had to be in bed by about 8 o'clock. You say, yeah, can't do that because, preacher, we don't even get home sometimes for 8 o'clock. Yeah, but they got up at 4:30 every morning, and you don't do that either. Okay, they were required to take the medicine when they were complaining. I mean, she would dish it out. Can I tell you the reason, let me stress, the reason that we have brats running around in church is because you allow them to be brats at home. If you would learn to discipline your children at home, they would not act out at church. You know, may I say tonight, that didn't go over too well, but may I say this tonight, that you have to, and she practiced this. She said, I will subdue that which is the will of my strong-willed children in order to save their souls. These are 16 things that she said she practiced. She said, I will teach my child to pray as soon as they can speak. She said, I'll require them to go to the family worship time, which we today would call devotions. She said, I will give them nothing for when they cry, and I will only give them something if they learn to politely ask for it. She said, to prevent lying, I would never punish them when they told me the truth and they repented, but I would always punish them if I found them in a lie. She said, I never allowed a sinful act to go unpunished. She said, another statement, I never punished a child twice for the same single offense. She said, I commended them and I rewarded them for good behavior. She said, any attempt to be able to please, even if it was done ever so poorly, I would always commend them for doing so. She said that I preserved the property by giving them the rights to be able to do small things and doing it well before giving them a greater responsibility. She said, I strictly observed all my promises. I never broke one promise to my 19 children. I required none of my daughters to work until first they could read well and be able to reproduce all of their studies at a grade level acceptable. Then she said, I taught my children to fear the Lord. I taught my children to fear the Lord. Now, may I say, what was she doing? She was devoted. We ought to be devoted. We ought to devote ourselves to raising not good kids, but spiritual kids. We ought to devote ourselves. Somebody asked me years ago, they said, preacher, what is it that was your goal to raise good kids? I said, we never had a goal to raise good kids. We had a goal to raise spiritual kids. We want our kids to be spiritual. We want our kids to serve God. We want our kids to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We want our kids to be faithful to church and know what it is to go soul winning and know what it is to read their Bible and know what it is to be faithful to God. And by the way, that should be the goal of every parent that sits underneath the pitch of my voice. Can I say that you and I ought to decide that we want to raise some spiritual kids? I believe that Rispa also had some rules. I believe that she laid down some rules. I believe that one of the rules she had in her own life was, I'm going to protect my children from the vultures. Now, can I tell you, there's a lot of vultures out there tonight. There's a lot of vultures that would like to sweep in tonight and pick away at your kids. There's a lot of vultures tonight. If you would let them inside of your home, they would destroy the very fabric of Christian living inside of your home. Oh, those vultures come in an unseemly fashion as you turn on the television set or the flat screen, and they sweep in with the rock music, and they sweep in with their homosexual lifestyles, and they sweep in with their passive living, and they sneak in with their premarital sex, and they sneak in, if you would please, with the lifestyle that's not conducive to Christianity. And can I tell you, you need to be like Rizpah tonight, where you get that sackcloth and you just decide that you're going to sweep it around, and you're not going to let the buzzards come in, and you're not going to let the jackals come in, and you're not going to let people come in and destroy your children. Can I say, we need some mamas tonight. And by the way, you cannot protect your kids if you don't know how to protect your kids. That's why you need church, and that's why you need Sunday school, and that's why you need old-fashioned preaching. Oh, I'm so tired of the world out there trying to give you philosophy of how to rear your kids. You don't need the world's philosophy. You need God's philosophy. You need to decide to let God be true and every man a liar. They say put the kid in the corner and just make him go over there and give him time out. Time out never did work. Time out doesn't work now, and time out's not going to work in the future. You need to decide that you're going to punish that kid the Bible way. Let God be the one that will help you to raise some godly kids. We years ago used to have a paddle that was called Woody. And sometimes our kids would give him great respect as they called him Mr. Woody. Mr. Woody came into our home before Jonathan was born. Say why? Because we wanted Mr. Woody to welcome Jonathan to our home. When Jonathan came home from the hospital, there was Mrs. Wells. There was Brother Wells, and there's Mr. Woody. And Mr. Woody wasn't properly introduced to Jonathan, that was the oldest of her children, until he was at an age whereby he needed to meet Mr. Woody. But from that very day that he met Mr. Woody, can I tell you that he became quite, out of all of her children, quite acquainted with Mr. Woody. I remember one time where Brother Jonathan kidnapped Mr. Woody. We looked for Mr. Woody. We could not find him. Until then, we found that Brother Jonathan was holding him for ransom. Oh, but not just Brother Jonathan. No, there was Joshua. By the time we got done with Mr. Woody and Jonathan, Mr. Woody was tired and requested several times to retire. We said, no. You've done a good job. We hire you all over again. And so we hired him. Now he has two people he's responsible for. He would see us coming across the carpet to pick him up, and no doubt if he could talk and if he was human and he had a human soul, Mr. Woody would probably speak up and say, please, no, not again. Because as it stings them, so does it sting me. Oh, my. We used him so much he became flat. That's not true. He was flat when we got him. But can I tell you, all of a sudden Jared was born. And Jared, though he walks around with a smile, and though he walks around with a spring in his step, we didn't help him with a smile, but we taught him how to have a spring in his step. And then all of a sudden there was Rebecca. You would think that no girl under heaven would ever have to meet a strange person by the name of Woody. But can I tell you, Rebecca became quite familiar with Mr. Woody. Matter of fact, Mr. Woody had a personal relationship with each one of our children. He inspired them. Yes, he did. He inspired them to do right, and he inspired them to step forward, and he inspired them not to do wrong, and he inspired them to be able to keep a schedule, and he inspired them to do whatever we put our hand to. He inspired them. We applied that which was the Board of Education to the seat of understanding whereby a child would gain wisdom. Can I tell you tonight, you better be careful that you protect your children from the vultures. The vultures will come in tonight through a youth group.
Yep.
The vultures will come in tonight through a worldly friend.
Right.
The vultures will come in tonight by somebody saying, come on, let's go over here and do this or that. And you know that this and you know that that is wrong. The vultures will come in tonight by a wrong movie. The vultures will come in tonight by wrong television viewing. The vultures will come in tonight because of that which is a strange friend. The vultures will come in tonight because of somebody that's a critic. Oh, they're smooth. Can I tell you? They're smooth. To the pastor's face, they love him. Behind the pastor's back, they're the worst critic. And the vultures come in through the critics tonight to be able to get you off track. To be able to get you not to believe in the Bible that the pastor preaches or the pastor he himself that holds such a wonderful book. I'm saying tonight this mother had an example of devotion. Statement number two, this mother noticed this verse tonight as we only have a few verses to be able to describe her. But the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10, as we look at a separate tier of this, the Bible says that Zizpah, the Bible says, listen to it now, Zizpah, it says the daughter of Ai took sackcloth. Then it says something else. The Bible says and spread it, it says, for her upon the rock. From the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped, it says, upon them, that's the bodies, upon them out of heaven. Most of those that are Bible students say that normally this would be around April to October. That's a long time. She stayed there from April until October. She stayed there all morning long. She stayed there in the afternoon. She stayed there in the evening time. She slept there beside those dead boys' bodies. And she protected them from the vultures all those many months. Sometimes being a mother is hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you wish that you could just give up and throw in the towel. Sometimes you feel like that the challenge that you're having with each one of those kids is more than you can bear. But can I tell you, if this woman could stay up all that time getting very little sleep in between, perhaps sleeping very close to them so that she could feel something lighting upon them. And she would wake up and she would begin to get up there and begin to use that sackcloth or begin to holler, maybe throw some pebbles. Can I tell you tonight that you and I as parents ought to demonstrate our devotion, but secondly, we ought to demonstrate, if you would please, the demonstration for our children to see and others to see our love. I understand she was coming from those that were the Gentiles. Understand that this woman did something that was not common. Understand that nobody else is doing that and nobody else cares. Many years ago, there was a Bible student that was over in the Dallas cemetery area. Somebody walked up to her and she was standing there beside the grave of Oswald, the one that killed President John F. Kennedy. She was standing there and she was sobbing. The Bible student walked up to this individual and said, why are you sobbing? She says, because nobody cared for my son. You said, but preacher, he did wrong. So did these guys. These guys were part of the military. These guys, no doubt, took people's lives. But do you know every mother has an aching heart for their children? Every mother has an aching heart for a child that they pray for that doesn't quite do it right. That doesn't change the fact of a mama's love. And you know, and you as a husband and I as a man will never be able to quite understand the depth of a mama's love. But here we understand that she demonstrated a love. She is laying beside those corpses, and now all of a sudden one of those vultures or one of those jackals come up or maybe one of those crows come in, and now she rises up and with all the earnest and with all the desire and with all the might, she decides that she's going to be the one that's going to try to help, and she tries to get that one away. And can I tell you, that's what you need to do. Now, look, we're a growing church, and I thank God for that, and I thank God that God has sending us, may I say it this way without being offensive, good quality families.
Yeah.
I thank God for that. I thank God for people who's joining your church, and you don't have to tell them to come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. They're here. You don't have to tell some of these that's joining your church, hey, you need to be a soul winner. They're coming in as soul winners. You don't have to tell them they need to have Bible standards in their life. They learned that long before they showed up here, and they've got Bible standards in their life. It's easier for me to stand up and holler and preach when God sends you such families inside of the church. But can I tell you, there may be a day when somebody all of a sudden shows up and they're not faithful to church, and they don't care about soul winning, and they don't care about running buses, and they don't care about godly preaching, and they don't care about godly singing, and they bring a style with them, or they bring a contemporariness with them, and all of a sudden they try to infiltrate the families, and before you know it, your kid will be influenced, and before you know it, they begin to influence others, and before you know it, they're swayed, and they drop their standards, and they drop their godly living, and they start to dress the way of the world and act the way of the world. I'm telling you tonight, you better thank God for mamas that just decide they're going to demonstrate what is right before God. This mother was a good example of devotion. She was a good example of demonstration. Let me give you one more thing. She was a good example of dedication. This was a dedicated mother. These boys could not do one thing for her. Nope. They were not going to rise up and say, thank you, Mom. I got attacked again. Thank you for keeping that vulture off. Thank you for keeping that bug away. Thank you for keeping that spider off. Thank you for keeping, you know, by the way, if you've never been camping, you ought to go camping sometime when the raccoon are awake. We went on that every year. We have a men and boys camp out. Last year, the raccoons really wanted to fellowship. So Jared and I shared a tent as father and son, and so we shared a tent, and it had the it was a nylon type of tent, and had a nylon type of window, you know, that, you know, you can have the breeze blowing through, and sort of like the old spring windows on the spring cookhouse or whatever. And so, and we were laying there, and all of a sudden we heard the stirring around outside, and they started talking to each other, like, I like them. I was laying there, had my kneecap up against that screen. As my kneecap was up against that screen, one of those raccoons dove from the tree. I guess they thought that my kneecap had peanut butter on it or something. Man, I was about half out of it. That raccoon dove from that tree and hit my knee. Can I tell you? I came alive. And after that, I couldn't go to sleep. I was just so uncomfortable because I had no idea what it was. I didn't know if it was somebody out there that was going through. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was a bear. I had no idea. I mean, Brother Palmore didn't warn us there might be bears. I didn't know. And so I told Jared, I said, I can't sleep. I got to go for a walk. So I took my flashlight and I went looking just to see what in the world that was. If it was out there and it was something that wasn't good, man, I tell you what, it was going to be me against it, and I was determined I was going to win. And so I took my flashlight and went out there, and I thought, man, it's awful hot. It's hot. So I thought, I can't sleep. I'm going to go sit in the truck a little bit. So I started the truck up, leaned back a little bit, said, this is crazy. I don't want to do this. It's supposed to be a camp out. What am I doing in my truck? Even though there was 42 other guys in their trucks. What am I doing in my truck? So I got out of my truck, and I went back, and I joined my son, who's in there cutting Z's. I mean, just not a care in the world. Daniel Boone he is. And so I got in there, and boy, I rested and got up the next morning feeling good. But we found out that those raccoons had ransacked a lot of stuff. I mean, they had dumped over different types of things that we had set up, and they'd eaten some of the food that we had there, and, you know, no doubt they were having fellowship with the Baptist brethren. Can I tell you, though, we were dedicated. I remember, was it last year when the rain came? The year before, wasn't it? Year before. Man, the year before, I remember Brother Kramer. I remember that. You had a boat. Your boat was full inside. It wasn't really a boat. It was his tent. Man, somehow or another, he left the window open or something. And, man, the water was about that deep inside the tent. He needed a boat. And I remember all of us guys, we were real brave. Boy, I remember that. You remember that? There was a pontoon that was up there. I mean, you know, that you stand up under, and it had one long picnic table. And you saw about 50 guys hovering underneath the picnic table. We had this body in, this body was out, and this was getting soaked while this was dry. I mean, it was just terrible. But can I tell you, we were dedicated. That's right. We were men. We weren't going to let rain stop us. We weren't going to let raccoons scare us. This year, it'll probably be bears. I don't know. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, she was dedicated. She was so dedicated. Watch this. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 11. The Bible says, and it was told David. David the king heard about her dedication. By the way, can I tell you, when you're dedicated, somebody's hearing about it. Sure. When you're going to Sunday school, somebody's hearing about it. When you're reading your Bible at home, a mom and dad see you, and all of a sudden, can I tell you, they're telling other people about it. When you get up and you sing, as we had the mothers and daughters that sang this morning in our main service, and they did, each one of them, a fantastic job. And can I tell you, I talked about that, and I told people about that. Listen, when you serve God, somebody is going to tell others about that because you're dedicated. And what our world needs to see today is dedicated believers. Watch this, 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 13. Here's what you see. David, the bones of Saul and Jonathan were stolen. And so David sent a brigade to be able to go get the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan and brought them, but he didn't forget what this mother did. So the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 13, and it says, the bones of them that were hanged. So it paid off. She's going to be buried with Saul, or the boys are going to be buried alongside Saul and alongside Saul's immediate sons. Going to be buried right there beside that which is Jonathan. You're talking about the former king of Israel. You're talking about the best friend of David. And these young men that hung in the tree, though they were the sons of that one that was a part of the concubine, was treated almost with royalty in the end, because there was a mama that said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect, and I'm going to be the one that will guard, and I'm not going to let the vultures come in, and I'm not going to let the jackals come in, and I'm not going to let those crows come in, and I'm going to make sure that nobody picks them apart to the point and to the place where they don't have that which is common sense to serve Jesus Christ. I don't know how many times I hear pastors, and they say that their children are not serving God anymore. And I say, well, why? And they said, because it was the church people who just picked them apart so much that they just didn't want anything else to do with it. Can I tell you, our church ought to never pick somebody apart. We ought to decide that we love them, we walk beside them, we encourage them, we help them, we praise them for everything that they do. Why? Oh, it's not because they're better than somebody else, and it's not because your kid is better than somebody else, but everybody needs some loving, and everybody needs some help, and everybody needs some encouragement, and we ought to be the ones among anybody else that will rise up and say, hey, that was a good song you sang. Thank God for that. Hey, I thank God that you're here and you're working on a bus route, and I thank God that you're going out soul winning. And can I tell you, mom and dad, you ought to thank God if you have a teenager that loves God, that stands for God, that's trying to do something. Thank God for that young person. If you're a teenager tonight, would you stand? You're a teenager, 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 teenager. Now, by the way, these kids are not perfect. Can I tell you that? They are not perfect. Can I tell you, they've got flaws. Can I tell you, they probably got penny ante problems. Let me show you somebody else that might even have more problems. If you're a child, would you stand tonight? Well, these kids are not quite as mature as a teenager. They don't know how to handle things. They don't know what to do, when to do, how to do, why to do. Believe it or not, mom and daddy, they don't even have it figured out. Some of them cannot even add. Some of them cannot even spell. Yes, I'm talking about the older teenagers. They don't have a clue. All of a sudden, a boy looks at a girl and says, you know, mom, dad, let me tell you, I'm in love. I'm just so much in love. Can I tell you tonight? They don't understand completely what love is. They get it all mixed up with infatuation. When they say, I love someone, it's like a Snickers bar type of love. It's like Coca-Cola and cotton candy. So all of a sudden, when a teenage boy goes up to a girl and says, I think I love you, what he means is, you remind me of the Superman ride. That if I get real close to you, I'm probably going to lose my cookies. If you're a teenager, enjoy being a teenager. And that's why we tell our young people, hey, look, man, don't even get into the dating game. You wait till you go to Bible college, wait till you get past that one semester, and then maybe then your parents will say, yes, I will allow you. But can I tell you this? Even at that time, if mom and daddy says, no, I don't want you to do it, mom and daddy's right. See, there's nobody that understands your maturity level like mom and daddy. You say, but you're the preacher. I don't understand your maturity level. They deal with you. They see at the age of 18, they're still telling you to brush your teeth. They see at the age of 17, they have to still tell you to make your bed. They still see that you don't have the character to get up out of bed on your own, that they've got to pull you out. I mean, they understand who you really are. Now, what I'm saying tonight, listen, thank God for mama and thank God for daddy. Hey, listen, you've got some heroes. I'm not talking about some sports jock. I'm talking about you've got a hero that's a daddy, and you've got a hero tonight that's a mama. And thank God for a daddy and a mom. You say they've got rules. You better thank God, Bubba, they got rules. You better thank God that they love you enough to lay down some things to protect your hide and to keep the vultures off of you and to keep the jackals away from you. Oh, I don't like the rules. Hey, you better thank God they've got some rules tonight because they care for your soul. I'm saying tonight, you better stop bucking against the rules. You know, mom and dad love you enough to send you to a Christian school perhaps, or maybe even to homeschool you, or try to protect you from that which is the whims of the world. And can I tell you tonight, there's a lot of whims in the world, and you got to decide that you're going to be that one that comes under mom. And you say, but preacher, you don't understand. I like a girl. I'm telling you tonight, let the girl go and go back to mama and let mama be your hero and let mama be the one that helps you to pick out the right one. She'll make a better decision than you will because you're emotionally stirred. Thank you. Be seated if you will. Now thank God for people that love you enough. Now parents, let me help you a little bit. All of a sudden a staff man, ooh, maybe a principal, ooh, maybe a youth director. Ooh. Maybe a music director. Ooh. Maybe a man without hair. Ooh. Maybe somebody's leaving for 4.5 weeks. Sees your little pudding walking down the hallway. And says to your little pudding, straighten up. You're not acting right. Don't get mad. Can I tell you, it's better to have more eyes on them than few? And even though your mama and even though your daddy, they can pull the wool over your eyes for a while. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking your kids are angels. By the way, if they lied to a staff person, they're also lying to you. If they're making up a story to a staff person, they're also making up a story to you. All of a sudden, you see that your kid walked down the hallway, and it just so happens that a staff person sees that they've lost their halo. Now the devil's horns are protruding outside their skull. They're doing something evil, foolish, and devilish. And a person walks up, whether it be a staff person or another person sitting inside this room, whether it is an older person that's grayed in their hair, or whether it's a person that is growing in the Lord exponentially, or whoever it might be. But they come up and they correct your little angel. Don't get huffy. Well, I just can't believe that my little angel would do something like that. They're doing a whole lot of other stuff you just don't know about. Hello? Oh, okay. Well, why I'm on it. And then I'll quit. But while I'm on it, let me help. Every now and again, while I'm on it, every now and again, get their cell phone. Open that thing up. See what they're saying in their text. By the way, don't do this. Be wiser than this. Don't say, now tonight at 9:45 p.m., I'll be having cell phone inspection. No. Just be driving down naturally one day down the, well, this way, driving down naturally one day down the highway, and all of a sudden look over and say, hey, Bubba, give me your cell phone. And if they say, oh, no, let me give it to you in a minute. I've got to correct something here. I've got to, you know something's happening. Why are they trying to cover it up so much? Oh, yeah, I need to plug it in and charge the battery before you get to see it, because after all, you know, the battery's low and I don't want you to be discouraged when you open it up. Hello? I'm just trying to help. You say, preacher, you're helping too much. I'm not coming back. Well, then I'm going to help you while I got you. Amen. Hey, man, every so often, just kind of go through their movies. Amen. Go through their video games. Yeah. Go through their music. Say, preacher, you're trying to put me in prison as a teenager. No, I'm trying to protect your hide. Yes, vultures all around. Sweeping in. You don't know it, but they've been picking at your eyeballs for a long time. You don't feel it because you're so messed up in sin and wrong that you just can't. That's almost like Jonah down in the bottom of the ship. Wind tossing the ship to and fro, he's sound asleep, didn't even know it. He was so miserable that he stressed himself out, no doubt, went into a deep sleep and could not even be woken up when in dire danger. Now I'm saying this tonight. Thank God for mamas and daddies that run off the vultures. Thank God for moms and daddies that run off the jackals. Thank God for mom and daddies that run off the crows. Thank God for that. And by the way, sometimes, are you listening to me? We can see them flying above. We know something's going on. And the thing is, they're flying over your head. And we see it. Oh, okay. All of a sudden, the boy's countenance stops. He used to say amen. He don't say no amen anymore. Used to sit in the front, now he sits all the way in the back. Wow. Used to be he'd come forward doing the invitations, but now doing the invitations, he leaves. Wow. Yeah. All indicators.
Yes, sir.
Used to sit down among the crowd, now sits in the balcony by himself.
Come on.
Used to listen to preaching, now he's on the cell phone. That's why he's in the balcony by himself. While the preacher's preaching. You say, preacher, man, you're just hitting everything tonight. Well, can I tell you, there's a lot of vultures out there. And I'm tired of good people that are trying to become spiritual people that have, if you would please, a desire for their kids to turn out right, being knocked off simply because of the fact they're not wise enough to do what is right themselves. Now, thank God for Zipporah. Thank God for Zipporah that all of a sudden, if you would please, or Rizpah. Yeah, I can't remember her name. I'm not going to name my daughter that if we ever have a daughter. No, we're not having a daughter again. But thank God for Rizpah. Thank God that even though half the world would never remember her name, she took actions that we can point to, say that was a loving mom. That was somebody that cared. By the way, the preacher's that way. See, if the preacher is worth his salt, he's going to preach things, don't get mad at me, whether you like them or whether you accept them or not. Because he shines, if you would please, the light, or he shoots the warning sound. Because he cares about you. He loves you. And he just wants you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.